Stupidity is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Don't forget to check out the Woj Pod. The NBA season is back, and Woj has the latest NBA news and information from inside and outside the bubble. You can find the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gatz, a man I consider a personal hero, an icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world. We are bigger than who? Are we bigger than the Golic Family Podcast?
Maybe not this week. I don't know.
He might be bigger than Rogan this week, Golic. I mean, you might. So Stanzik, we figured we'd have Golic on. Everyone wanted Golic on the week or two leading up to his final show. We figured it'd be fun to have Golic on the week after his final show. Because listen, I know his career. I loved his career. I enjoyed his career. I consumed his career. I was a part of his career. Very small part of it, by the way. He stuck his hand in my dirt.
and you literally consumed his career. You ate a picture of his family.
And I ate a picture of his family. And we had the whole thing at Pinehurst where I played golf with the morning show and some listeners. And so, and I love that family and I love it dearly. But you and I were more interested in not what the 2 weeks were like towards the end, but what the next lonely, sad week was like when you're still getting up at 3:30 in the morning because you've been doing it for 22 years, except now he doesn't have a radio show to do. And so we wanted to talk to him and see how his first week of retirement, I guess, for lack of, even though he's not officially retired, we wanted to see how that goes. You did mornings. That's a tough transition when you're waking up that early every day and suddenly you don't have to anymore. It's crazy.
I know. It's like unfathomable that people work those hours. Like even having done it for years, you look back and you're like, that's just absolutely insane that anyone would sign up to do that.
I did it for 1 year and then I told my boss to go himself. But that said, let's bring on Mike Golic Sr.
Stupidity!
Mike, we thought it'd be thank you for doing this, by the way.
Sure.
Mike Golic Sr. with us. It's normally it's Junior. I shouldn't say that, actually. Mike, this is your third appearance on Stupidity, so congratulations to you.
Do I get some kind of an award or something? Do I get a cash prize? I don't have a job now, so I need a cash award.
Stanzik, you got anything for him? And I mean...
Good reflection.
I got two high school kids and a wife who won't stop spending. So I
got a money pit of a house.
Well, yeah, Stanzik's in that phase, Mike, where he's still in the honeymoon phase, where he's saying yes to everything she asked for. So.
Oh God, jeez, you'll get out of that at some point.
I'm trying, swimming upstream here.
No, there Mike, you know this. Soon she'll just stop asking.
Well, it's exactly right. Then you get to the point, Dan, where you just don't want to know anymore. Just I don't want to know. Just know I want to have some money and we don't want to live on the streets. Other than that, I don't want to know.
Dude, it was interesting on the Golic Family Podcast. They were all suggesting possible careers for Mike now that he's no longer a radio host.
Yes.
And the one that I thought made the most sense was he could be a handyman. And if he wants to come fix my house, I'm ready for him.
Oh, yeah. Sansa's got a ton of work for you. I mean, you might make more there than you would have in your next contract at ESPN, Mike.
I don't. I'm only a handyman to a point. Before I have to call someone, I think I would do better as a property manager. That way I just have to go in, kind of flush the toilets, make sure nothing's flooded or house is on fire, change the filters, which anybody who knows me knows I'm a big stickler for changing the filter so you're not breathing in airborne spores. I think that could be a good job.
Mike, do you remember this, Mike? SAE 5W-30. Do you remember?
I mean, how do you not know oil weight, Stu? I mean, do you not have any clue about oil weight? 5W-30 is the weight of an oil. I mean, you put oil in a car before, have you not?
Yes, but how did you know to tell me what it was just based off of? Did my read on the Shell Pennzoil performance line suggest that I had no idea what that was?
Yes.
Why
you, okay. You said SW30. It's a number 5W30. That's the weight. Right. 10W30, 5W30. That's the weight of an oil. And you said SW30, and I text him immediately going, so what the hell are you what are you doing? I mean, Jesus.
Is it WD-40 what you put on a creaky door?
Oh,
yes, that's what you put on. Well, one time Greeny did a read, and why he did it, had it, I have no idea. It was for power tools, and it was steel, but it was spelled that like S-T-I, it was some wild.
I-E-H-L, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he spelled it out. And he said, S-T-I. I said, no, Greeny, it's steel. He goes, well, it doesn't look like steel. I said, I know, but it's pronounced steel. And, you know, I was like, you know, it's like talking to you or Lou about all this stuff.
Michael, you're right. Again, so many Jewish jokes that you made. Mike Golick Sr. with us. So Sanzig and I thought it'd be interesting. Everyone wanted to talk to you leading up to the final show. We thought it'd be interesting to talk to you the week after the final show because I'm interested in what this week has been like. Like, Mike, on Monday morning, did you wake up and walk downstairs to the basement ready to do a sports show? Like, what happened Monday? Like,
no, no. Like, two things. Like, number one, I still haven't – I'm trying to gauge, and I guess I'll know when it happens. Like, I don't set an alarm anymore. I've only – in 25 years, the 22 at ESPN, and 3 years previous, I did morning radio in Phoenix. So it's been 4:15 or 4:30 for 25 years. I've only set one alarm, and I've never overslept. So now, obviously, when I'm not doing the morning show, this past week, I turned the alarm off. But I still kind of naturally wake up at 4:15, 4:30, even though I don't get up. I just kind of wake up. So I'm interested in how long it will take me to be able to sleep through that particular hour or time. I'm not there yet. And also, it is unbelievable the amount of shit I get done before my show would have actually been over at 10 o'clock. I miss my show because the freaking honey-do list I got working now, I mean, is unbelievable. I have done more, and all of a sudden I look at the clock and it's 10:15. I'm like, oh my God, I'm more worn out than talking for 4 hours on a national show of all the stuff I just had to do.
Seems like the show is holding you back.
well, holding me back or keeping me from being so tired. I mean, Chris is always like, boy, we're accomplishing a lot. And I'm thinking, how long is this going to go on? I mean, you know, does this have to be happening every day?
Sanzig, when do you think, Sanzig, you worked mornings, like how long does it take to work itself out of you where you could just kind of sleep until 8-9 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I probably did mornings for like 5 years in total. So it was a lot easier for me. I would say like my fourth day after my last Golic and Wingo show, I was probably waking up at, you know, 6 instead of 2:30. And every night at 7:30, I was like, how in the hell did I used to go to bed at this time? It was a pretty quick transition for me. But for Mike, it's a quarter century in.
Right.
I think that's going to be a little harder to break than it was.
Well, I think the way to break it is I'm going to have to try and start staying up later. I would be in bed, whether I was asleep or not, I'd be in bed no later than usually 8 o'clock. Now, a lot of times I'd watch if a sporting event was on, or Chris and I would watch Everybody Loves Raymond reruns. That's like one of our favorite shows. So, but I would always be to bed early. And I, now if I'm going to ever sleep past that 4:30, I think I have to start learning to go to bed later and, you know, get hopefully, but it's hard because I'm so damn tired at 8 o'clock still.
Right. Yes. Well, you're like the Army now, like, or the Marines, you do more before 10 a.m. than most people do most, you know, all day, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I'd rather go back and do a national radio show. It'd be less work.
Well, look, are you excited to watch sports finally?
Yeah.
It'd be nice. As long as I can stay awake, it'll be nice to watch a whole game. You know, now when I see something starts at 9 o'clock, I don't go, oh God, this is going to be torture to stay up. You know, Mike's young, my son.
Yeah.
He always stayed up late and could just get a few hours of sleep and be fine. That's what happens, you know, when you're 30 or under. You know, I'm 57. It doesn't work that way for me. You know, I pay for it for a couple of days when I stay up too late.
What's the latest you slept to this week, Michael? What's the latest? Is there progress is what I'm wondering?
Well, I mean, I've still woken up at either 4:15 or 4:30. I would say probably 7:30 after that, which is pretty good. But yeah. I want to get past the 4:30, just body automatically waking up. That's what I'm looking to do.
Mike, this was I found this part of your final show to be interesting. I was thrilled to be on it. I appreciate you guys having me on it. But if I told you, Mike Golic Sr., that you could have chosen the ending to your radio career, at least in the mornings, I'm not suggesting that it's over. If I said, Mike, you could choose how this thing is going to end, I'm telling you, Mike, there's no way you could have chosen a better ending than the way it ended last Friday with your son speaking the way he did, you crying the way you cried and delivering a very nice final few seconds there, your family surrounded, you had, and I speak on behalf of America here, you had me and my wife, at least your son did, you had us crying in our living room. If I said, Mike, pick the way this thing is going to end, I don't think you could have picked, hand-picked, a better ending than the way it ended.
No, I mean, they asked me which guest that I wanted on in the last show. I didn't say you. I don't know how you ended up on the show.
Because he's a snake.
Yeah. I was saying goodbye to Trey. I mean, yeah.
But, you know, I wanted, obviously, you were going to come on, and Darius Rucker was going to come on, and Bill Curry, who I've become such good friends with. And so I thought the whole show, I said, you know, is it going to get to me, any emotion? And I thought if there was going to be a time maybe when Bill Curry was on, because he speaks so eloquently. I mean, it's incredible. And then I knew the last hour I was going to have my family on. I said, you know, and Trey was nice enough to step aside. Now, he did come back at 9:30 because Herm Edwards wanted to come on, and he and Trey have had a long relationship, come on and say goodbye. So, but I knew that last hour, the way I wanted it was with my family. And I mean, my God, how great it could be in my basement too. I mean, since the last 4 months basically have been in my basement. So it was very cool. Obviously there was cake. There was a big pail of alcohol on the table as well. So it was about the way I would like it. I didn't know Mike was going to do that. Once we got to the last segment and we had about 5 or 6 minutes left, I was going to go into a, you know, this is, you know, thank my talking about my family and all the listeners who had become like family to me over the years and things like that. And all of a sudden, Mike started going, and I was like, oh, my God. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, obviously, I'm choking up. Chris is choking up. Everybody's choking up. And he was just able, while his voice was a little quivery, he was able to keep going and deliver. I was like, oh, my God. I didn't know that was coming. I guess Chris did and everybody else did, that he wanted to make sure he had time for it. I didn't. So that really kind of, I mean, what do you say? I mean, when you hear something like that from one of your kids, you know, and then afterwards, you know, when the cameras are off, all my other kids, you know, hugging me, it was like, wow. And I mean, you know me, Stugatz, you know, and Stanzik. I mean, I everything includes my family all the time. So to circle back and answer your question, you're right. It could not have been better to be in my basement with my family there for the last hour. And then Mike, oh my God, that was amazing.
The line, I'm getting goosebumps right now. When these mics turn off, you'll still be my dad. God, Golic. I mean, Jesus.
Well, man. I mean, you know, I guess that part of that shows that this whole thing, you know, when we moved here, as my wife said after Mike spoke, we came here for this morning show. We didn't look to, let's do the morning show and see what else we can move to or what else we can create. This is what we wanted. This is what we were there to do. And we wanted to take it as far as we could. And it wasn't, while it was a job and, you know, a way to support my family, it was also a way of life. You know, I, you know, Mike was 9, Jake was 8, Sydney was 5 when we moved here. And they knew at that time, I told them, we said, listen, this morning show is now our life. You guys are going to be exposed to the country. Anything you do, good or bad, you know, we're laying ourselves out to everybody. And they all knew that, you know, they knew that from 9 until it ended. Mike was 9 and now he's 30, you know, I mean, so
yeah,
a long time, you know, to go through that and grow up with the ups and the downs. So it was our lifestyle. This was our life. This wasn't just a job. This was our life.
Mike, I'm glad you went there because, and I say this respectfully to Trey, because Trey and I have spoken about this because he's become a friend. And And I've discussed this portion of it with him, because when you decide to go into radio, you have to bring your entire life, your entire family. Stanzik, you and I have spoken about this. Jeez. Yep. You have to be with at least the portions that you're willing to share. Can't be everything. But you have to bring everything in with you. Everyone's all in. And by Trey's own admission, he was not prepared to do that. He just wasn't a radio guy. He got into it at a different stage than you did.
Right.
He certainly wasn't a morning guy, that's for sure. But he's a great guy. I think we would all agree on that. Yep. But radio is a different animal. And I am telling you right now, because a lot of people have asked me since you brought it up, had that thing been me, you, and Mike Golic Jr., we'd still have a show today. Mike, you'd still be on the air today. I mean, and so the big difference is, and you're right, you did such a great job of it, as did Greedy, and Trey started to as it progressed, and Jr. certainly has. You have to be willing in radio, unlike TV, to bring your entire family into the equation. And I'm glad that you did, and I'm sad that we didn't have the opportunity to do that together.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I've known when they said Trey was going to be on with me and Mike when we did after Mike and Mike. Listen, I knew Trey. I've been doing NFL Lives with Trey since 2003, so we've known each other, live 5 minutes from each other. We've known each other a long time. And you're right. He admitted he didn't like getting up early, and it was a different beast than hosting a TV show where, you know, you're talking amongst yourself and then you bring in the analysts. This is, you know, as you said, you have to give yourself. Like Jay Will called me, who's going to be part of the new morning show, and was talking to me about this. And he said, what would be your biggest words of advice? And it was basically just what you said and we have been talking about. I said, you have to give of yourself to the audience. You have to let them into your life as much as you're comfortable, but they have to turn on the radio in the morning, not just turning it on like this is SportsCenter. What's the story out there? It's like, I'm turning it on for the people who are on air. And then whatever they give me is a bonus because I like what they give me, but I'm turning it on because they're comfortable with you. And that's, you know, listen, I was never a hot take guy. I wasn't a screaming guy. I didn't do that. That wasn't my gig. I just wanted people to feel comfortable when they got up in the morning. They would put us on TV while they got ready for work in the house. And then they'd go in their car and they'd put us on the radio. And it just felt like they were getting up with a friend. That's all I wanted. Yeah. I wanted to be that guy in the corner of the bar where you just felt good sitting next to you, drinking a beer and shooting the shit. That's what I wanted. And I feel that's what I achieved. I'm not going to go down as the greatest hot taker or the greatest screamer or the greatest, you know, opinionated guy of all time. And that's okay. That wasn't me. I was going to do it this way. And, you know, I was fortunate enough it lasted that long.
It worked out, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think you ended up being way ahead of your time. I mean, that's come full circle with what Stu's saying about radio is you have to open your life up to the audience as a way to connect with them. But Mike, what have the last 2 weeks been like? What's the most surprising call you've gotten from someone that Stu and I may know?
I no real surprise name. I'm not going to lie. It was the amount of people. I'll tell you what hearing from my peers was unbelievably cool. You know, hearing from them, obviously hearing from the listeners and the viewers. And I mean, telling me one kid was saying, I woke up with you when I did my paper route, up till I woke up with you doing my morning workouts before high school football, up until I got up in college, up until my deployment. I'm like, oh my. So number one, it made me feel real old. But number two, it was, you know, how many people said, oh, me and my, you know, my dad and I listened to you on the way to school, whether it was a daughter or a son, me and my mom listened to you on the way to school. That stuff really, really touched me. And I was stunned at the amount. I think stunned at the amount of people that shared their experiences, because people would come at me at the airport and be like, I feel like I know you. You know, I feel like I know your family. And that's, again, what I wanted. But I think, and because what I've always also tried to do, like there are my peers like you and others that I've worked with on air. And then obviously the listeners and viewers we try to serve. But I always like to talk about and say the people behind the glass, the Stanziks of the world, right? The producers, the AP, the researcher, the board op, you know, the creative people is when I was hearing from a lot of them at ESPN, I would just randomly see an email. Hey, I worked on your show for a couple of years. I just wanted to tell you blah, 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 blah.
parade.
That really was like, I was like, wow, you know, because there were so many people over, Tony Bruno and Greeny and Trey and my son, of different people that worked on the show. And to start to hear from them, who I never really had interaction with because they were always behind the scenes and they weren't right in the glass in front of me, so I didn't know them as well. But to hear from them and tell me what they thought of me and or the show, that was really a really touching thing to me.
Very, very cool. Mike, this might be – Stanzik, I want you to take a stab at how do you think Mike is going to answer this question, because it's going to come off as a weird question. But are you prouder of the football career or radio career? And let me make an argument for your radio career, okay? The radio career is a Hall of Fame radio career. But I don't think it's a career that Mike Golic Sr. expected to have, certainly not at the level that he had it. I think your entire life you expected at some point – to play in the NFL and play fairly well in the NFL, meaning at some point in life, that was your goal, and at some point in life, you realized that goal was attainable. I don't think you ever thought that you would turn into the biggest morning show in America for a good 12 to 15-year run. And so I'm wondering, Stanzik, how do you think I'll answer this? Which one are you prouder of?
I think it's pretty clear he's going to say the football career, because that was his goal his entire life, and he achieved the highest place you can go as a football player. He made it the NFL, played for 9 years. And I think I remember him talking about this on the air one time when he, and I don't think it was about himself necessarily. I think it was somebody else. Maybe it was like a Herm Edwards. It's like, when you dream of being a player. Even if you're a coach and you're in your 60s, you still dream and you think about when you were playing. That was the pinnacle. So I think for Mike, it's absolutely going to be the playing career.
It was actually Bill Curry.
Oh, and, there you go.
And he was asked, your coaching career, your playing career, and that was his answer. And somebody asked me that, you know, what would you like to be remembered for, your playing career, your broadcasting career? And Stu, what you said is absolutely right. The NFL was a goal of mine, and I was able to achieve that and play for 9 years. To a level of average to above average, not a level of greatness by any stretch, to a, you know, 20 whatever year career I'm in now, where I ended up getting in a couple of radio and or broadcasting Hall of Fame. So from a production standpoint, the broadcasting certainly outdid the football. But as I answered this question, when somebody asked me, never once did I wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my God, what a great segment that was. I woke up in the middle of the night because I dreamt I blindsided a quarterback and knocked every out of the air out of his body. So that's always what I think about the most. Yes. And there, and the amazing thing is there are so many people who listen to me because it was over such a long period of time, who had no idea played football. We had an intern working on our show, and we play that promo all the time.
Carmine.
This dude had no idea I played football. Zero. To which I told him to get off the show. Because I said, dude, what did you know about me? That you were a radio host? And I'm like, oh my God, how old am I, man?
He's great some, moment in that. Wingo yeah. goes, way to save it.
Yeah, some of these people. So some of the viewers and listeners I had never even knew I played football.
Mike, many of the viewers of this. Yeah. No idea you played football. I mean, when I was watching the final show, my daughters were there. They're like, that guy played in the NFL?
I mean, my God. My buddy of mine, obviously, Darius Rucker from, you know, doing his country stuff, but front man for Hootie the Blowfish, has been a Dolphin fan all his life. He didn't know what the hell I played for the Dolphins in 93. I'm like, Darius, that was your favorite friggin' team, and you're only a couple of years younger than me. I mean, you didn't have my card or anything like that. He goes, yeah, I don't remember that year with you. I'm like, oh, shit.
Maybe the better way to phrase it is, well, no, I think the answer is going to be the same. More gratifying. I only say this because I'm trying to tell you got to do something with your son towards the end for 3 years that you were never able to do in your football life. And that had to be gratified. That's why
that,
I bring it up.
That, yeah. that part of it, I mean, any host that I had will always take a back seat to the fact that I got to work with my kid. There's no doubt about that. I mean, yeah. to be able to get up and turn the mic on and there's your, you know, your son, unfortunately for me, speaking better than I do, you know, you know, sounding smarter, using bigger words and disagreeing with some of my takes. I'm like, damn it, you know. I thought my kid was going to be on bended knee before me. Father, let me learn from you. He's too busy ripping me, you know. But yeah, nothing in unless I work with him again down the road in something can compare to I mean, just working with one of your kids, you can't even explain it until you do it.
Mike, you may disagree with this stance, but when did you realize Mike Jr. was better than you at radio?
It didn't take long. I mean,
that's because of me, Mike. I mean, you told me to mention the kid, and I did.
He is so well versed. He's very smart. I mean, he puts the time in. That's something that we definitely have in common. Remember, I was a 10th round draft pick out of 12 rounds. He was undrafted and was in a couple of camps. I mean, we had to get somewhere because we had to work our ass. Not to say that great players don't work hard, but I mean, we had to know so many different aspects and work, do all the little things over and over again. And he's willing. It just kind of helps you in life as well. I told all my kids that, to prepare for things in life as well. So he is so well prepared for this. And outside of the rocky road of him doing Sunday mornings with Stu Gatz, that nearly careened his career, where he's not showing up for shows because he went to a wedding the night before and was lost.
Hey, Mike, I was there. I was on time.
You were. I'm calling Sarah Spain, who was at the wedding. Sarah, you have any idea where my son is? And oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, you mentoring him, that'll give anybody shockwaves.
I tell Mike all the time, it was our best show.
Stupidity!
Mike, there's so many interesting places, and I won't take too much of your time here, but there are so many interesting places. But, Mike, I will tell you this, and I want you to really enjoy this, because I am currently at the Under Armour All-American Tournament watching my daughter play. She has a game, actually, in about an hour.
Nice.
And I'll rush back to the field. And as you know, I played lacrosse. And she's already better at the game than I ever was. I was never a high school All-American. She's getting recruited by lacrosse royalty. And I said this, and Stanzik and I talked about it. Mia Lebatar talked about it. What really made the Kobe tragedy on its own was tragic. I heard the news. It was just Kobe at the time. I was playing golf. I got off the golf course. I went home. And then once I got home, you learned that his daughter was also on that helicopter, and they started putting up all the pictures of the two of them at basketball games, and Kobe teaching her, literally teaching her the sport and how to play. And I always say that Kobe, as good as he had it on the court, and few did it better, we couldn't relate to that. But what we can all relate, and I can't relate to what you did on an NFL football field, but what I can relate to is teaching your daughter something, having her become so good at it, she becomes better than you ever were at it, and then being able to sit back and watch it. And so Kobe, unfortunately, as good as he had it at the NBA level, Mike, he missed out on the absolute best part. You have the opportunity now to watch your son, away from you, lead and drive a show, and I really hope you have the opportunity to sit back and just enjoy that, you know?
Oh. I will, because now I get to enjoy it as a listener, you know, and not as a co-host. Because, boy, you're so right about the Kobe thing. When I saw that accident, you know, you felt your heart just drop. But then I remember the first thing saying, because I knew it was the basketball season and such, I said, please don't let there have been any kids on that. And when it turned out his daughter and one of her other teammates, another 13-year-old, was on it, you just, you know, losing Kobe or anybody, you know, the other adults on that, it's horrible. But, man, when kids are really just starting out life, it's horrific. But being able to, man, I mean, and you do the same thing. You coach your kids. But I loved going to watch my daughter swim practice. I loved going to watch the boys at lacrosse practice, at football practice. I could sit. I was a practice junkie. I coached them in all their little league stuff. I mean, you can't get enough of that. And you're right. It is horrible that Kobe and his daughter obviously miss out on that connection, because there is nothing like it. There's the professional life we all have, but you know, family is the thing. And then to have them doing what you did, like I swam, it's the first thing I did, and I reached a quasi close to national level. And my daughter blew my doors off on that. Laughs at my times that were. She was so much better, you know. And I saw my boys on the football field achieving their goals of getting to Notre Dame, and Mike trying to make it into the NFL, doing his best to do that. And now thriving in this environment that I was in for so long. So, yeah, now to be able to sit back and just listen as a consumer, you know, and not as someone, you know, on par as a co-host, it's going to be pretty cool. I hope he'll let me be a guest on the show occasionally.
Listen, and if he doesn't, you're welcome to co-host right here, okay?
Yeah, appreciate that.
I mean, if you got nothing to do, Stanzik and I are always around and here for you, okay?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's the best way I can say it. Kobe, as great of a life as Kobe led and had, he was just getting to the good stuff, and yep, he missed out on that. Yep. And Mike, you've been at the good stuff for a while, and now you're really getting to a good place. By the way, is everyone off the books now? Is Michael Jr. Have they stopped mooching off of you? Like, everyone's off the books now, right?
No, Mike has been off the books. Jake has been off the books. He and his wife Jenny have those two Orange Theory Fitness studios. Right. That they're running incredibly well. Now, obviously, the pandemic slowed that down a bit, but they're doing a great job. We still all get together for our Sorry in Advance podcast. We do every other week. That's always fun to kind of catch up and do. Sydney is my one. Sydney, I don't know if she'll ever be off my books at all. She got engaged. Great guy. Ben Broniker was a tight end for the Bears for 4 years. He's going to be in med school. He's going to be an infectious disease doctor. All that being said, I know he'll take great care of her. Somehow, some way, I still see her lifeline to me being some credit card with her name on it, still drawing from my account somehow, some way.
It's colored platinum, I mean, or black. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's kind of our all connection now is how, you know, our podcast, that seems to be the world now. And, you know, the podcast world, and we've been doing that podcast for a while. Really, it's not really been about sports. It's just been about all our lives and all the stupid crap that we do, much like, you know, how yours, you know, really doesn't go into sports much. It's just fun just to kind of sit down and just shoot the breeze and not have to worry about how you're covering all the sports things.
It's interesting. A couple of quick ones, and we'll get you out of here. Me and Dan, and Mike, feel free to, if you don't want to go here, it's fine. I just figured I'd ask. But me and Dan, after your last show, we're both very vocal in that, you listen, 22 years, you deserved better. There's no way you should be reading that in a newspaper. And so Dan and I were a little bit upset on your behalf. I don't think people realize at the height of Mike and Mike for maybe a 15-year run, now you guys were paid well. The amount of revenue and money and eyeballs that both you and Greedy brought to that network. And for Dan and I, we felt the need to say something because your last show is not something that Mike Golic, after 22 years, should be reading in a newspaper. That's plain simple.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, I have always a face-to-face or in where we are now, I guess, a phone conversation kind of a guy. Listen, you're right. We brought them in a ton of revenue and they paid us extremely well. You know, it's a two-way street, no doubt about it. But I definitely thought something like this that, you know, I shouldn't have had to read in the media. I thought I would at least get a phone call about it, and I didn't. And I've never been, you know, a locker room talker, you know, out of school. I talked to the people involved. I told them what I thought. I told them what I felt. It was between me and them. And maybe they care, maybe they don't. You know, it's nothing, you know, I didn't feel it was done the right way. No, and I said that publicly, but I'm not a guy that really goes into it unless some year I tell a tell-all book, which I highly doubt I'll do. but I may tell the people that are involved what I think, and that's what I did. I told the people that were involved in that what I thought about how they did it. I still, as I said, and I said it publicly, I think it was the wrong decision. I think I should still be doing the morning show, but the equation I made to that was, it was like when I got cut by the Houston Oilers and then by the Miami Dolphins, I thought the coaches were wrong in cutting me, but they didn't really care what I thought. You know, they were going to cut me. So whatever I didn't like the way it happened. I also said I didn't think it should happen. You know what? It still happened. I had no control over it. And we move on.
Did you, and sensitive question, I apologize. Did you hear, now I thought Greeny was very eloquent on the air, and anyone who has met you, Mike, I think would say the same as Greeny. If you're I'm telling people out there right now, Stanzik, you should do this. Spend the day with Mike Golic Sr. and his family. You will become a better husband. You will become a better father. You will become a better parent. You will become a better person. I thought Greedy expressed that very well, did a very nice job. Did you hear from him privately is what I'm wondering?
No, I did hear that. Oh, it was very nice. Listen, we had a great run. Did it end the greatest? No. I mean, that's been pretty much documented as well. It didn't end that great, but it was very nice what he said. But no, I didn't hear from him. He didn't reach out. I didn't reach out to him, but and vice versa. But and that's fine. I did offer when, you know, they said they were going to change the morning show and bring Greeny back on radio. I said, hey, I'm not doing anything now. So put us back together. If you want to do Mike and Mike back together for that noon show, noon to two, I'm cool with that. But I don't know where that got in the company of, from the who I told, but it never happened. And so I don't know where it went. I don't know who nixed it, but you know, it's the way it goes. It was very nice what he said, no doubt about it. But other than that, there was no other communication.
At the height of that show, Mike, I'm wondering, at the height of that show, the absolute height, were you like, what the fuck is going on here? How did this thing become so popular?
We had no idea it would become what it did. And I think what helped is when we first started, like when Tony Bruno and I first started, we were running one market, Chicago. That was it. So that was for a year. And then when Greeny came on board, we were on obviously a few more affiliates, but we weren't even on in Hartford. So our bosses couldn't even listen to us. So I actually think that, in all honesty, I think it helped. I think it helped us work through, you know, you try some things, they work, some don't work. So by the time the bosses could hear us, we were hitting our stride a little more. The ratings started going up, so they put us on news. The TV ratings started going up, so they put us on two. And then all of a sudden, radio and TV ratings kind of blew up, and it kind of took off. And even Greeny and I were like, okay, we didn't see this coming. Not by any stretch of the imagination. And then, you know, it just kind of rolled from there. I was hoping it would go until it couldn't go anymore. But, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't to be.
The three people, Mike, if you think off the top of your head, the three people or the three experiences you had at the height of Mike and Mike, where you just couldn't believe you were hanging out with this person or this person wanted to meet you or you were sitting there on Letterman. Like, do you have three?
I would say the three would be, I went to Notre Dame, so that made me a Chicago person as well. And my wife is from Chicago, so I was in Chicago a lot. And I threw out the first pitch to four games, twice for the Cubs, one for Pittsburgh, one for my hometown of Cleveland. But throwing out the first pitch for the Cubs, of which the first one I bounced in and got booed, and I should have gotten booed. I deserved it. But singing in the seventh inning there, you know, at Wrigley Field, I mean, that was like when I'm up there with the microphone in my hand after throwing out the first pitch in the seventh inning singing, that was a surreal moment. Another was Greeny and I got to be on David Letterman 11 times. Now, Letterman is somebody I grew up watching before I ever had to get up early when I could stay up late. I watched Letterman through high school, through college. I was a huge David Letterman fan. And here we were going on his show, not once, not twice, but 11 times. So that was like a wow moment as well. And when George Bush was in the White House, they had a T-ball game every year on the front lawn. And they asked Greeny and I to be the call the game. So we got to go to the White House, call the game, get our picture with George Bush and the First Lady Laura Bush, and have dinner at the White House. For doing a freaking radio and TV show, here we are having dinner. And again, I never talk politics on the show, and I don't want it to come across like that. We got invited to the White House. We were going to the White House. So, I mean, to think for doing a radio and TV show, you end crazy. Up, you know, throwing out the first pitch, singing at Wrigley, going on David Letterman and going to the White House. I mean, it was like, wow, this shit worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are such a big deal. And they try to hide being Levitard. They put you guys everywhere. I mean, I can't even get into the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, my God.
You did that like 1,000 times, probably.
I mean, yeah, I did that. It was horrible. I embarrassed myself because I missed the layup in that game. It was awful.
Stupidity!
The first major of 2020 is finally here. Get exclusive coverage of the PGA Championship through August 9th on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And since we know that you've been missing golf, we here at ESPN Radio teamed up with our friends at the PGA to give you all something big to look forward to in 2021. This is your chance to win a VIP experience to the 2021 PGA Championship at the world-class Kiawah Island Golf Resort. I've been there. It's fantastic. In fact, I want to win this. The four-day, three-night grand prize package for the winner and guest includes round-trip air and hotel at the Sanctuary, a five-star oceanfront hotel on Isle. That's where it stayed. Two tickets to the PGA Chalet, and two pairs of Wanamaker Club tickets, two free 1-year-long subscriptions to ESPN Plus. Stream live coverage of featured holes every weekend on ESPN Plus. Win a year of exclusive live sports, originals, and more with ESPN Plus. For your chance to win, go to ESPNRadioSweeps.com. That's ESPNRadioSweeps.com to enter now through August 11th. Limit to one entry. One grand prize winner will be selected. Again, visit ESPNRadioSweeps.com for the official rules.
Stupidity!
Biggest on air. Any regrets, Mike? Let's do that. Any regrets?
You know what? It's interesting is, if I think about a moment that I regret, is back when, and I told him this because I said I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong or telling it to somebody. I remember saying on air when Tony Kornheiser was in the Monday night booth, I had made a comment publicly like, why would he be in the booth? He never played. What would he know? You know what? A stupid comment. In all honesty, I don't even know what year this was, but it was such a long time ago. And it was a dumb comment. And, you know, I and Tony made reference to it and I think ripped me for it. And you know what? Rightfully so. And I remember talking to Tony after that, saying, you know, I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong for that. And it always stuck out to me as, you know what? I had always said I should never, it's never right to use it. Well, you didn't play, so you don't know. Because that's a bad statement to make. It's an ignorant statement to make. And I made it, and I made it on air about, and it didn't matter that it was a guy that worked for the company as well. It could have been somebody else from another network, and I would have been wrong to say that. And for some reason, that really stuck out to me as I really felt bad about that one because I was really wrong about that.
Mike Olick, Sr. with us. We'll get him out of here in a second. Most nervous on-air moment is blank, Mike.
In all honesty, probably the 1 year again when Green and I were hitting our height, it wasn't even on our show because I became so comfortable with our show that, and plus I made so many mistakes. I didn't care. You know, I was still going to be on the next day. You know, you just live with it.
Right.
1 year though, Greeny and I did the Monday 6 o'clock Sports Center for an entire football season. That the first time I did that, I was nervous because now all of a sudden, you know, on our shows, we know we don't have a teleprompter. We're not reading scripts. Now people are writing in, you know, in bumps for me or writing lead ins. Eventually I started learning how to do that, but it was like, okay, wait, this is a 6 p.m. Sports Center. You know what? I can't just be willy nilly and, oh, I made a mistake and laugh about it. I got to be right on this. So that was probably one of the most nerve wracking things for me. Because I even called the first time I called a football game, I was still in my element of football. I know football.
Right.
But now it's SportsCenter and I'm doing soccer highlights or hockey highlights and I got to make sure I get names right and all that. That was one of the more nerve-wracking things for me.
I could tell you one of the most nerve-wracking times for me, Mike, and we're not celebrating the end of my career, although it could be coming up soon. I mean, we have no idea.
Any minute.
But it was co-hosting with you. Not co-hosting with you. That part was fine. I felt comfortable doing that. But this is when I realized how big you guys were. It's a sports radio obstacle course hosting that show.
Oh.
I lost 150 pounds after the show. I was drenched in sweat. It was crazy.
Watching anybody who come in who's not used to the show navigate the amount of reads and things that we have to do. Reads, not only advertisements, but talking about other things going on at ESPN. I mean, we had great guests, but we had a ton of advertising to do, and we always promoted all the other things on all the other networks, you know, on the different iterations of ESPN as well. So directing traffic, sitting in that seat you had to sit in, I always got a chuckle out of watching people and seeing how they navigated through that.
All right, last three and you're out of here. Who would have enjoyed your radio or been more surprised by your radio career? And I only ask you between these two because you bring them up all the time. Reggie or Jerome?
I would say neither one because they knew what kind of a guy. If you make me pick one, I'd probably say Jerome, but I really think they both knew exactly where I was going to end up.
Okay, wow, that's interesting. If your son, Mike Olick Jr. or Jake, if college football, if their careers were upon us, meaning coming up in a couple of months rather than a couple of years ago. Would you allow right now, Mike Golic Sr., being the dad that you are, would you be comfortable with your kids going off to college playing college football right now?
You mean amongst the pandemic and the time we are now?
Yeah.
I would have had, as most parents would, a conversation with the coach and with the athletic department. But to make this a general question, yes, I would have been comfortable sending them to college. Yes.
Okay. And then, Mike, last one here, because a lot of people have asked me, you know, you brought it up. I brought it up on your final show, just how, and I mean this. And so I just want you to hear it again. I want the audience to hear it. People have been asking me how close were you and Golic to working together. And I say, listen, I don't know how close it really ever got. That's besides the point. What you did by at least voicing your interest in having me is put my name in a lot of executives' ears up at ESPN. Otherwise, my name would never be up there. And so so that's what I mean by that. I wanted to explain that to the audience. I have no idea how close it ever got. I know it would have been good because me, you, and your son would have been good. And I'm not saying that Trey, you and your son wasn't good. I just know what we would have done together. But I wanted to thank you for that. And I wanted to clarify that because it really meant a lot to me, Mike. In our industry, where a lot of people are kind of stabbing each other in the back, you really went to bat for me. And a lot of people have asked me about it since I brought it up. And so I just wanted to explain, clarify, and then once again, thank you because it put my name in a lot of people's ears where normally, people who had never heard of me, which sounds strange considering I'm doing the show with Dan. But when Mike Golic says your name up in Bristol, that means something. So thank you, sir.
Well, listen, I do it because I see what I see when you do something. And I'm doing this for a lot of years. And you've done it longer, but not just on air, but being a PD and everything. Yeah. I think I have a pretty good sense of what I think can work. So it was a no-brainer bringing up your name as one of the possible, guest hosts, or not guest hosts, as one of the hosts of the show. I know it was you and Jason Fitz and Trey Wingo, but I had no problem, I could talk about all three of you. But yeah, knowing what you do, what you could have brought to the show, that was a no-brainer.
Yeah, just it really, at the time. And I know you and Dan spoke about it because our audience gets all upset. And Golic didn't do anything wrong. He went all to the other. Right.
Yeah, for all the Stugatz army out there. I mean, because that was the three. It was Jason Fitz, it was Stu, and it was Trey. And I said it can go no further with Stu until I talked to Dan. I said I needed to talk to Dan. I'm not going poaching anywhere without talking to those people. To make sure that it's cool. So I made sure I had that conversation with Dan. And Dan, I mean, I couldn't believe how quickly he said, please, God, get him off my show.
Thank you.
That was somewhat stunning.
Thank you. He told you that whatever they offer me, he'll pay double. I mean, yeah. And by the way, Stanzik, that's why he got the universal praise that he got in the 2 or 3 weeks leading up to his final show. Mike Golic Sr. would never ever have done that without first making sure Levitard was okay with it. That's why people respect you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys chatting about me after the time ended. But like I said, I'm not going away. I'm under contract until the end of the year. So that's why I went to them. And you'd have been mad at me, Stugatz. I could have sat around and just got paid and done nothing until the end of the year. I actually went to them and said, listen, I don't want to just sit around. Let me go back and do what I first did when I got here and call college games because I love doing it.
Right.
And so they were like, cool, do that. And then at the end of the year, we'll see what happens. But I'm still too young to be out of this business. So I'll be doing something for somebody.
I'm outraged. I tell you, when they called me and Dan and said, we're taking an hour away from your show, we want you to focus more on digital. Dan viewed it as a demotion. I was celebrating. Less, say pay, Mike.
Yeah, oh, then that right up your alley. Are you kidding me? You had to be throwing a friggin' party.
Yeah, but then they told me the digital stuff. And I'm like, what do you mean digital? I want to be done at noon. Last one. This is going to be a tough one for you. Would you trade the last 22 years in for a Super Bowl ring?
Wow. Ooh. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Little stinger at the end, Michael.
I would probably say if my career was the same where I was, a starter at time. I started about half my career, a backup. I would probably say for how this is, I've got to have my family involved for so long and how this has helped my family so much. and kept us all involved for so many years. I would still probably say this because of my family, the radio, because of the family. Pretty damn
special, man. Mike, I know you're going to work more. Hopefully you'll do more radio. You're welcome here anytime if you just want to give sports opinions. Yeah, I'm not going to pay you, but I'm just telling you right now because they're not paying me, Mike. I mean, but you are welcome to.
This will be our last time talking then.
Well, hopefully on air. I mean, hopefully you play some golf. But Mike, yeah. I've seen fewer people have better and stronger relationships than you and your wife. And so I'm just hopeful that you can just enjoy the out of this, man. Sit back, watch your son, play some golf, do what it is you do around the house, Mr. Handyman. Get some sleep. Life is short, and just go enjoy the fucking hell out of this. Okay, Mike?
I'm going to enjoy. I'm in a nice position where I can kind of choose what I want to do, and part of that's going to be enjoying the family and the life now. Yeah.
All right. Well, we enjoyed you for 22 years, my friend. We appreciate the hour you gave us today. I will leave you alone, but hopefully we'll be able to go out and play some golf, and I will continue, whether you like it or not, to mentor your son.
No, definitely do that, and good luck to your daughter in playing.
Thank you. Yes. The only reason I'm cutting this short, otherwise you'd be here another 2 hours because she's got a game in a half hour. Yeah.
Go watch.
I am. I am. Mike, thanks so much, and congratulations on a Hall of Fame career, man.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Stu. Thanks.
Stupidity!